Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New Jersey and beyond. Enjoy the talk. What's up, Every Nation? PA here. I'm actually recording on a Monday morning. We had some recording difficulties at our Sunday service. And in full disclosure, I forgot to hit record on my lavalier. So I'm here on a Monday morning. And I just wanted to share with you podcasters what we did on Sunday. And really a great service. We said goodbye to Katama Romano, who's our, she's been our youth minister for upwards of 4 years, and really grateful for her labor and just pioneering our youth group. And met some new people and lots of new life. So really excited about all God's doing at Every Nation New Jersey. And man, I'm excited to share with you just as we close out the book of Daniel. And I entitled today's message, or yesterday's message, Daniel PM. And I thought it was a play on in chapters 7 through 12 of the book of Daniel. We're going to run into Daniel's going to have dreams and visions and apocalyptic visions and eschatological prophecies and all these different things. And so it got me to thinking about dreams, and I'm not sure if you've ever had any odd dreams or kind of weird sleep habits. I know a couple. I don't know if you've ever just been in such a dead sleep that you wake up in the morning and you're not sure where you are, who you are, what day it is, what you do for a living. It's just all gone. You've just been in what Paul would call the third heaven. Been there, done that. I had another funny experience. My wife Susan and I were newlyweds, and man, when I think back, I mean, we used to sleep on a twin bed, my poor bride, and you know, me hogging all the room and all that. But I remember my wife's a sleeper, man. She can really put some Z's in. And so she was in just heavy REM sleep, and then she woke up in the middle of the night, and she was just livid, upset with me. And she started giving me the business, and she was sleeping. And she was saying, she says to me, "I've been up all night washing the car, and you're out playing golf and doing..." I'm like, baby, you're sleeping. "Don't you tell me I'm sleeping. I've been..." Until finally her consciousness began to slowly return to her. So we still giggle about that to this day. Also, back in my NHL days, we used to have roommates on the road, and I roomed with a guy, Pat Verbeek, another big nose brother like me. There wasn't a lot of oxygen in that room between the two of us, and we'd have to race to see who would get to sleep first, because the other one wouldn't keep us up snoring. But I remember one road trip, like I'm out, I'm asleep. But then suddenly in the middle of the night, I don't know if you've ever had experienced this. If you had kids, you probably have, is your eyes are closed, but you know someone's staring at you. And for whatever reason, I open my eyes, and Pat Verbeek is literally 1 inch away from my face. We are nose to nose, and he's staring at me. He's sleepwalking. And so I'm not sure if this brother's ready to strangle me or what, but he scared me so much. I screamed and like chucked him back in his bed, and we just we to this day haven't said a word about it to one another. It was kind of like broke the man code type thing, but anyways you know, I joke and I say all that, but the reality is you know, I wanted to let our church know, and I want to let you know this morning, is that like Daniel had dreams and visions from the Lord, I believe I have a vision from the Lord who I want us to be at Every Nation New Jersey as a people. And here's where you'll get the play on PM, is I want us to be both a prophetic and a missional people. And here's what I mean by that, is I want us to be a prophetic people, that that God, through our faithfulness and by the Holy Spirit, He would raise up an army of life speakers into the earth, into northern New Jersey. That that, you know, we live in a tear down culture these days. We as a society and as a culture, we love to build up celebrities so then we can just tear them down. And we're just, everyone's got a negative opinion about something. And so I just thought, how countercultural would it be? How kingdom of God-like would it be to be just a people that speak life? The Bible would say this, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so may God make us a prophetic people, and then a missional people. You know, that God, the kingdom of God, I say this time and time again, the kingdom of God is not a spectator sport. Rather, God saves us from sin and death and now saves us into a great mission, that we have a job from Almighty God, that we get to play a part in God's story. And it's been my experience that as human beings, we tend to prefer our little small story, and we try to pull God into our story. And like, God, come do this for me, come do this for me. Rather than receiving God's invitation to play your part in His story. And that's a huge difference. And so may God make us a missional people. And so let me just start. If you're a three-point person, and every pastor has to have 3 points, let me start. My first point here is this. Number one is that prophecy and breeds security. And here's what I mean by that. I'm not sure if this is you too, you need to quit doing this, but if you've ever seen some of these sports networks, they have like the Yes Network and ESPN Classic, and their sole purpose is they show old, outdated sporting events. And I always ask myself the question, what kind of losers watch this stuff? I mean, who cares? The game's been over for a decade, and yet you're going to watch it again. I'm like, what kind of losers do that? And then I found out recently, I'm that kind of loser. Because they showed one of my hockey games. They showed a repeat of the Philadelphia Flyers and the Pittsburgh Penguins back in 2000, the 2000 NHL playoffs. And you know what was so funny is it was actually the longest game ever. We played almost 9 periods, which would be 3 complete hockey games. And so it was really cool. And but here's something that stood out to me is I can remember being in that game, being so nervous, not knowing what the outcome was going to be. I was so uptight. Like at times I seriously, I thought I was going to vomit. You know, I was just so, there was so much tension. And the funny thing, watching it now, some 18 years later, you know what? I wasn't nervous. I wasn't wondering, oh my gosh, is this going to happen? I did have one ridiculous thought because I almost scored during the game, and I wondered, hey, maybe this time it'll be different. But then I remembered I really wasn't that good of a player. here's my point, though. See, that I knew the outcome of the game. I knew the score, and I knew that we won. And you know, God, the God of the universe, is that way. That He's not in the midst of time in our story, but rather He stands outside of it. He knows the beginning from the ending. And so He's never nervous. God's never surprised. And here's the great thing, that we can rest in the reality that there is a loving, merciful God writing the storyline of everything that is. And we can rest in this, knowing that God is in control, and that we win in the end. And that should breathe an unbelievable amount of security to us. And here's something else, is the accuracy of prophecy should also breathe security into us. And so skeptics, when they contend that the book of Daniel was actually written hundreds of years later than it actually was, because they said that the prophecies were too accurate, and there's no way somebody could know the things that Daniel knew unless he was actually looking back at it. Well, see, it's only impossible if there isn't a God who stands outside time and whispers future realities to his prophet Daniel. And so how cool is that? And so in Daniel chapter 7, we'll see that Daniel gets a vision of a lion, and later a bear, a winged leopard, and then lastly an iron-toothed beast. And this is just prophetic visions that Daniel's receiving about the four upcoming empires. He also referenced this in Daniel chapter 2 when we saw Nebuchadnezzar had a prophetic dream about a statue that was made of gold, silver, bronze, and iron. And so this is even some 50 years later that Daniel is getting a similar vision with most scholars believe it's the same meaning, that the great lion is the Babylonian Empire, and that the bear is the Medo-Persian Empire, and the leopard would become the Greeks under Alexander the Great, and then lastly the iron-toothed beast would be the Roman Empire. And so we see that God is even foretelling of the empires that would later come. And so we see again that God is in control of our future. In Daniel chapter 8, we run into one of the coolest things I've ever seen in prophecy. And so I'll read to you Daniel 8, verses 5 through 8. And it says this, it says, as I was considering, behold, a male goat came from the west across the face of the whole earth without touching the ground, and the goat had a conspicuous horn between his eyes. He came to the ram with the two horns, which I had seen standing on the bank of the canal, and he ran at him in his powerful wrath. I saw him come close to the ram, and he was enraged against him and struck the ram and broke his two horns. And the ram had no power to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and trampled on him, and there was no one who could rescue the ram from his power. And then the goat became exceedingly great. But when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and instead of it, there came up four conspicuous horns towards the four winds of heaven. Here's what's so amazing, is we hear that, we see that vision of a ram with two big horns, and then there's a ferocious goat, a one-horned goat that absolutely destroys and demolishes the two-horned ram. And then here's what this would be. It's actually a picture of Alexander the Great, the one-horned ram, destroying the two-horned ram, the Medo-Persian Empire. And then it says this, but when the goat was strong, that he would pass away. And as you know, that Alexander would conquer what was then the known world and then would die suddenly at the age of 30. And it says four other horns would raise up, and that would be four other generals that would come behind Alexander. But here's the cool part. So a Jewish historian by the name of Josephus, he actually writes of the account of Alexander the Great. So this is some hundreds of years after the prophecy written in the book of Daniel. Alexander the Great would be the great general, the Greek general who's conquering the known world. And as he's marching through Asia Minor and conquers it, and through Syria and through Tyre, he's approaching Jerusalem. But prior to his taking of Jerusalem, Alexander has a dream in the night, in that he dreams of a holy man dressed in holy attire, and an entourage would meet him on the field of battle. And simultaneously, the Jewish high priest received a vision from the Lord that he's to array himself in holy garb along with the other priests and to approach Alexander on the battlefield. And so this epic moment of, as Alexander steps forward, all of a sudden out of Jerusalem comes the high priest and the other priests with him. And something that unexpected happens. Alexander bows his knee to the high priest and then walks with him. And then the high priest begins to show him the book of Daniel, chapter 8, verses 5 through 8 that we read, and he lets Alexander know, the Lord has shown me, you're the one horned goat, and you will absolutely destroy the Medo-Persians, the two-horned ram. And with that, Alexander spared Jerusalem, and with 30,000 troops, Alexander the Great beat the Medo-Persians with some 500,000 troops. It's impossible unless there was something from above with Alexander, and we know there was, that God was fulfilling his prophetic word over Alexander. So kind of a cool thing. While we talk about just prophecy being fulfilled, you know, in Daniel chapter 7, he also receives a vision that the Ancient of Days, the God of the universe, would turn the earth over to a son of man. And if you're familiar with your New Testament, you'll know that Jesus, that's one of his favorite titles, is the Son of Man. Another cool fact is that, you know, that Jesus, he fulfills over 300 messianic prophecies through his life, death, burial, and resurrection. And so just if you're into stats, geeky things like that, I'm a pastor, I need to. Do you know that the chance of just one man fulfilling 8 prophecies is 1 in 100 with 15 zeros behind that? So I don't know what number that is, but it's a lot. It's impossible, once again, unless God Almighty is the author and the finisher, that he's writing his story. And once again, you need to remember, our story ends in a triumph. It's not a tragedy. And so regardless of what you're going through in your life, that God is at work in the chaos. And in the end, we're assured that all things will work for good to those that love God. Here's point number 2 is prophecy and activity. This is extremely important to me, once again, that we don't just think that, man, that we look at the life of Daniel and other Bible greats and we think, oh, they're super Christians. The Bible itself will clear that up. It says that even Elijah was just a normal guy like you and me, but God did great things through his life. And so God wants to move mightily through your life. And so something like prophecy is not just for the spiritual heavyweights, but it actually says in Acts chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit in the last days is poured out on you and me, on all flesh, and that all of us shall prophesy, we'll dream dreams, we'll have visions. Paul will say this in 1 Corinthians. Paul will say this, that prophecy is a necessity to building the church, that it edifies and builds up the church. I'll read it for you, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 3 through 5. It says, "But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified." That as we're a prophetic people, the church will grow and be strengthened. And so I want to break down just real quick. I want to demystify the prophetic, because we just read that New Testament prophecy is really quite simple. Number one, it's for our strengthening. That word in the Greek has the connotation of like building a home or building, adding onto a structure. And I don't know about you, but I hate kind of these losers that live in the glory days. And if you do that, you need to let it go. But having said that, I'm about to do it. Did I mention I played in the longest game ever, Philadelphia versus Pittsburgh Penguins? interesting caveat about that I think it really illustrates our point in strengthening, is I can remember the game started at 7 o'clock at night and it ended at 3:30 in the morning. And I can't even begin to tell you the physical and mental exhaustion that was experienced. And if you've ever pushed yourself to the limit, like we literally had men on intravenous IVs because their bodies wouldn't stop cramping up. And so if you can picture with me that dressing room, like that locker room as we're in between the eighth period, it's roughly 1 a.m. in the morning. And as you look around and you see the exhaustion on the face of these men, and even if you've ever pushed yourself to the brink, you realize that there comes a point when you have to mentally decide, I'm never going to stop. I'll die first. Or you can just throw in the towel and give up. And we had this cool thing that the room was pretty quiet until one person looked at his watch. And he said, "Men, you know what? I got nowhere to go tonight. I can play this thing all night if we need to." And then another guy said, "You know what? I'm not busy either. I'm going to stay here all night to do whatever it takes." And then another guy stood up. "I'm going nowhere. I got your back, man. We're going to win or die trying." And so suddenly all of us became galvanized because we knew that we had one another's back and we were never, ever going to give up. And, you know, in the same way that, you know, you can be a prophetic individual just by showing up to church. Like, your very presence there becomes a point of strengthening other brothers and sisters around you. As you see the multitude and you realize, man, I am not standing for the kingdom of God alone, but I walk and I do life with other brothers. I believe Paul says that we gather together and in unity we contend as one man for the gospel. And so you can have a prophetic presence. As we talk about strengthening, you know, your words can strengthen. We already mentioned that we live in a tear-down culture, but words, death and life are in the power of our tongue. And I can remember my youngest daughter, Elizabeth, she was going through really a tough stage where she was a young girl. She wasn't really a little girl anymore, but she wasn't quite a woman. And so she was in this kind of awkward stage where she was trying to find out like her identity and all these different things. And as a parent, that can be a real helpless feeling as you don't know what you can do to help your child. And my wife and I just found ourselves praying a lot, asking God to help her find her way. And then I remember she was invited to a Christian retreat with a bunch of other young people. And the retreat counselor actually contacted my wife and I, and they asked if we would gather everyone that loved my daughter and to let them write a small a letter about what she meant to them and what they admired and loved about her. And so we had some 20 some odd letters just flow in, and so the retreat was orchestrated in such a way that kind of late in the retreat, they gave all the kids letters from their loved ones, from their parents, and my daughter Elizabeth began to scroll through these letters and just allowed words of encouragement, of life, and of love to wash over her, and suddenly something was different in her heart. Something changed. Something had been strengthened in her soul. And that was the power, the prophetic power of words to uplift and to edify. And so here's the message I want to leave with you. You have the power to be a prophetic person. And so if you see something good, say something good. If you see something good, say something good. Be a life speaker. Number two is this. It's not only prophecy is not only for strengthening, but it's also for encouraging. That's the word parakaleo or paraklesis. It means one called alongside. I'll share this illustration briefly. You know, for the two of you hockey fans that are listening to this podcast, in 2017 they actually had the Edmonton Oilers in Edmonton, Alberta. That's Canada. We're playing the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, and it was interesting. They had it was in Edmonton, and so you imagine like some 20,000 Canadian fans decked out in their Edmonton Oiler jerseys, and so they're about ready to sing the American national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner, and suddenly it became apparent that the microphone was out from the lead singer. And so what he did is he yelled out at the top of his lungs, "Oh, say, can you see?" And then he stepped back and he encouraged the whole crowd to start singing. And this Canadian crowd absolutely nailed the Star Spangled Banner. It was incredible. And I just thought how horrifying it would be if the roles were reversed and this was in the United States and we were asked to sing the Canadian national anthem. Crickets. But having said that, it brought me back to a story. 2003, the Portland Trailblazers were playing the Dallas Mavericks in the NBA playoffs, and Natalie Gilbert, 13-year-old little girl, was scheduled to sing the national anthem. She got up in front of 20,000 fans in Portland, and suddenly she went blank. She couldn't remember the words and just froze. And so there's just really this awkward, tense moment until, very casually, Maurice Cheeks, the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, walks over. He puts his arm around the little girl, and he starts to encourage her. "Come on, we can do this. Oh, say can." And then he began to encourage the crowd to join in song until suddenly the entire stadium was thundering out the national anthem, and Natalie Gilbert brought it home. And so that's being called alongside to encourage or to receive strength. And I remember one time my wife Susan, I had just retired, and as a family we were having a difficult time transitioning from professional athletics into full-time ministry. And ministry can be a difficult thing because it's not like a real tangible thing. And as far as just understanding, okay, what do I do? You know, I pray for a living, I read the Bible for a living. And so we as a family, we were really struggling. But my wife in particular, and I remember fasting for her and just praying that God would help heal whatever was ailing her soul. And then we went to a Christian conference, and there one man got up and he said he had a word for my wife, Susan. He spoke four words over my wife, and her life was never the same. That those four words he spoke over her, prophetic words that encouraged and set free, it was like spiritual CPR breathed oxygen into my wife's life. And so I'm thankful for the power of the prophetic. And so it has the power to encourage. And so I'll leave with this is, listen, we're a prophetic people. Therefore, if you feel something good, say something good. Like if you feel something good in your heart, say something good in your heart. My mom left me a voicemail the other day, and it so encouraged my heart. I saved it on my phone, and I received it as a word from the Lord. And so I'll go back and listen to that thing. So Mom, if you're listening, that was you're a prophetic person. The Lord spoke through you. And then here, so it's for prophetic is word for used for strengthening, encouraging, and lastly is comfort. And oddly enough, in the Greek, it doesn't mean just comfort like to console, but it also can mean to fire up and to encourage. And so there's times where your prophetic words can encourage and light a fire in the souls of men and women that have just, their faith has grown cold. I'm not sure if you've ever seen the movie Miracle. If you haven't, it's sinful that you haven't. You need to see that movie. It's the story of the 1980 U.S. Olympic team, and there's this great scene where Kurt Russell is playing head coach Herb Brooks, and he enters this dressing room before the epic game to play the Russian Olympic national team, and so he enters into the dressing room, and it's silent. And as he walks around and surveys the room, he says this. He says, "Men, great moments are born from great opportunity." And that's what you have here tonight. He says, one game. He says, if we played them 10 times, they'd probably beat us 9. He says, but not tonight. Tonight is our night. And I remember, like, I was ready to go out and play and you know, lose my mind and do something, because it stirred something on the inside of my heart, both at the movie theater and when I watch it again, you know, on Netflix or something. And so likewise, that the power of the prophetic can stir up and encourage strength. I remember in 2005, we were attempting to purchase a building in Manhattan. And if you understand anything about Manhattan real estate, you know it's insanely expensive. And we were trying to get secure a loan from the banks, but no one wanted to do business with a church. And so we kept getting refused until one bank decided that they would back us and give us a loan for this, for our building. And until literally the last second, they backed out and they responded to us, no, we just can't do it. At that point, my boss and pastor and friend, Ron Lewis, was newly married. He was actually on his honeymoon when I called him with the bad news. I'm like, I told him, Pastor Ron, the bank said no. They refused to give us our loan. I guess we're not going to get the building. me being the great man of faith I am, right? We're not going to get the building. And so as myself and the other associate pastors were mourning and longing, suddenly the spirit of prophecy and faith rose up in Pastor Ron Lewis, and literally over the phone line, he began to prophesy and speak faith and life into our staff room. And he just began to yell at the top of his lungs while he's on his honeymoon. He's like, brothers, God has promised us this room. If God is for us, who can be against us? God, is anything too difficult for God? This is our building in Jesus' name. And suddenly, like, a revival broke out in our staff, and faith rose up. And we were fired up and stirred up by the spirit of prophecy. And guess what? We got the loan and we got the building. And I'm happy to say, by the grace of God and the power of God, our building is paid in full. And so here's just to close off this loop on the prophetic. You're a prophetic person. And so listen, if you sense something good, say something good. If you sense something good, say something good. God wants to use you to strengthen, encourage, and comfort others, to build up the body of Christ. And now I need to close off this message here. Is my third and last point is God's called us to be a missional people, that you don't just get saved or born again to just sit on the sidelines, but this is God's calling you into the game, into His mission. And so when you receive Christ, you get both a ministry and a mission. I love what Nolan Bushnell said. You might not know it, but you know who he is. He's the founder of Atari. So if you're like 45 and older, you know what I'm talking about. If you're younger than that, you probably have no idea what Atari is. But he also founded Chuck E. Cheese. This entrepreneur said this. He says that everyone that has ever taken a shower has had a great idea. It's those that do something once they get out of the shower that make a difference in the world. And listen, you can be born again, have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but God's called you to so much more. He's called you to make a difference in the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, this will be our last scripture. Paul says this, that all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God's given you the mission or the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God is making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Listen. Little known fact here is that, you know, the book of Daniel in the original language, in the original manuscripts, was actually written in two different languages. Part of it was written in Hebrew and part was in Aramaic. Chapter 1 is in Hebrew, and then it transitions, chapters 2 through 7, it transitions into Aramaic, and then 7 through 12 goes back into Hebrew. And here's why that is. Aramaic was the language of the day. It was the language of the nations. It was the language of politics. It was the language of business and all these type things. And so what we see is God's heart for people. Like, God's heart wasn't just for the Jews, but he has a heart for people, for the nations. And that God even allowed Daniel to go into captivity. Why? That the people of Babylon might see in Daniel the God of the universe. And we see even King Nebuchadnezzar became a follower of the one true God through the life of Daniel. We see that that the Babylonians, a pagan nation, began to worship and see the power of God through the fiery furnace and interpretings of dreams and visions. And so all this is because God loves the world. And so he wanted to work through a simple man by the name of Daniel. And God wants to work through your life. Listen, God has placed you in your office, in your university, in your neighborhood, in your gym, all these different places, because God loves the world and God wants to work through you. He's given you a mission and a ministry. And so I pray that you would see your life played out that way and God would use you mightily that he might be glorified in the earth. God bless you. Love you. Have an amazing week. Thanks for joining us at Every Nation New Jersey, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the world, one life at a time.